Joseph, your Twitter is not working.
It's because Sig isn't premium. I'm gonna switch it to base.
What happened?
Sig's not premium. We have to switch it to base.
Okay.
Are we live?
Yeah. So don't say anything, and we'll get started. I'll edit it later.
Okay, we should be good.
Okay, here we go.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. Hi, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Go ETH. Oh. Go ETH.
Go ETH.
Go ETH. Go ETH. Okay, we're going to see if I'm going to have technical difficulties today because I am traveling. But we have some fun, exciting stuff that we're going to broadcast live tonight.
Yes.
Yes. And happy Taco Tuesday. But go ETH. Go ETH. And we're going to talk about that in the middle of the show. So if you want to know what the market's going to do, we've been predicting it for 2 years. If you want to know what the market's going to do, make sure you're listening in live today. We have some key dates, and we hit all of our targets. We said November 21st, we said 2 weeks before the Fed meets that ETH would have its bounce, and it had its bounce, like to the day, November 21st. So go ETH. But we have some exciting things going on. First off, how many of y'all saw Jeeps this week? or the color blue? Like today, just today alone, I think I saw like 3 or 4 of them. Like I'm like, totally forgot about that we said that last week. I'm like, why am I like recognizing Jeeps? What is it about a Jeep? I'm like, oh yeah, we talked about Jeeps last week.
So. Exactly.
I saw a bright yellow Jeep, like, driving right by me. I'm like, why am I noticing the Jeep? Why is it in my peripheral right now? Why am I thinking about a Jeep? I'm like, oh, yeah, we said, don't forget, like, look for Jeeps, and then your brain will start looking for those Jeeps, and I saw those Jeeps today.
But there we go. I didn't see any Jeeps, but I did see a lot of the color blue.
A lot of blue. Well, maybe you saw them subconsciously, but you weren't thinking, no, I'm just kidding. It's just random. Normally, you don't see that many Jeeps. I just saw Jeeps today. I'm like, there's Jeeps everywhere. Why am I seeing Jeeps? I'm like, oh, yeah, we talked about it last week. But we have some exciting stuff tonight.
Yes.
Yes. So I was able to go to a fun event that we talked about last week. Should we do the clip?
I'm ready to go.
Okay, we're going to broadcast this live on Twitter and on YouTube and a couple other places, I believe. So if you're watching, you can see it streaming live right now. But yeah, let's do it. Hey, everyone. Welcome to LA Talk Radio. This is Elizabeth Powell. We're broadcasting live from F1. Las Vegas right now. F1 in Las Vegas on a Friday night. I'm at Paris, Las Vegas, broadcasting from Cherie at the Paris Clubhouse. Thank you.
And that was an amazing experience, wasn't it?
That has to be the best sound in the whole entire world.
I think it is.
I love the sound of race cars. Am I a nerd or what? No, I'm absolutely
no. I think everyone does.
I had a blast. I went to F1, and I told you guys I was going to tell you the secrets on how to get to F1. Remember, we were talking about living a life of luxury without paying the cost of a life of luxury. And then I was going to give all the secrets on how to do it. And look like a lot of y'all went to F1 last week, too.
I know.
Because it was just crazy. There's so many people. And the price for tickets were going for like $9,000 to $10,000. Like one night, they were going for $9,000 to $10,000. And then the low-level tickets that like normally that many people normally go to were selling for $1,000 a night.
What?
But, yeah, it's crazy. So I have a travel hack that we all talk about, an F1 hack, and everywhere I go, like we find the lowest air, the lowest travel, but we live a life of luxury through the bots that finds the lowest price, what everybody else is paying, you know, $10,000 for. And so my travel hack, I had so much fun. I ended up going, let's see, last year I went to the Skybox, which is, oh my goodness, what is his name? I can't remember. I have it on the tip of my tongue. I'm so thinking of all these cars. But I'll tell you, Virgin Airlines,
okay.
Branson. So Branson's hotel out there has, right next to it is where they have the Skybox, and it's the start and the finish line. And it's beautiful. Like you have stadium seatings, you can see into the pits. You have like a full luxury box that has food stations that they custom cook everything for you, bring out premium drinks, serve it to your table. You have full wait service. You're able to go inside the Skybox or go down into the stadiums and be like right on the start line and the finish line and see the turns, which is amazing. And last year, so the tickets normally go for about $10,000 for those, and I ended up getting it for $300 on one of the nights. That was last year. And then I also went to the Sphere, which is the T-Mobile on F1 last year also. And the T-Mobile Sphere, if they give you like food, so they give you, it's normally just like soft drinks and water and a version of like fast food, gourmet food. So it's like pizza and hot dogs and hamburgers, but it's more gourmet style and tacos. They had tacos.
Ooh.
when you're able to walk around and you can see the turns because it's coming right around from the Sphere. And so we've had some of those that we posted on our X account too. And you see the Sphere is like sitting right in the center of the track. And last year I went to that one and I got the tickets for $50. And this year the tickets were going for $2,000, I believe, for the Sphere.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the retail time of it. So, but then I also was lucky because I have a gambling hack, a casino hack, we call it, where I trade the same way that I play in casinos. I do with break even with long shots, right? So you play on the same money over and over and over again. You accumulate points and then you shoot for the long shots. And if it's not paying you out, you walk away. Like same thing when you trade, when you're trading, if it's a hot night and you're trading or hot morning and you're trading, then you keep trading because that means that most of the tokens are going to be runners. But if the market's bad, there's no volume, then you stop. You don't play anymore. Like people always will chase, hoping that they're going to catch the next big thing. But you trade the same way. Like if it's high volume, you enter into the market, you de-risk, take out your, you know, right as soon as it hits a 2X, you take out your 50%, which is your initial investment, and then you play for free. You do the same thing when you play at the casinos, right? As soon as, if it's giving you break even, it's probably going to hit a long shot. You pocket the money that you originally played on, you take it out, put in a fresh 20 because there's more pain in putting in fresh money than there is playing on the house's money. Put it in your pocket and then you ride for free and hit long shots. But in the same way, you get points. So they reward you. They want you to keep playing. They reward you. So they give you comps and freebies and free play money and airfare and suites and tickets to F1, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So by travel, I get everything basically comped for free. So I had a suite that was overlooking last year and this year that overlooked F1 and the Sphere, and you could see the racetrack from my suite. and it was comped. So I had 5 nights comped for free and was able to stay there. And then I got my first night comped on F1, where the tickets were normally going for $900 to $1,000, and I got that comped. But I also found a smoking deal. There's a way to find arbitrage and then find tickets at a lower price. And then I also got to, which you guys got to see tonight on the video, I went to Paris's clubhouse, which is part of the Caesars property. And it had the rooftop nightclub. It had the next level, which was like the beer garden and the balcony. But you could see the full races on the strip. And they had like the most beautiful layout on food and drinks and like a beer tap bar with over like 300 different beers. And they had a barbecue station where they had, I make everybody hungry. They had like sausage and pulled pork and ribs that fell off the bone and mac and cheese and coleslaw and barbecue beans and like all that stuff that normally is on barbecue. And then they had a gourmet cheese, prosciutto, salami, crackers, olives, that type of a station also. They had a pretzel station, a pretzel bar station. They had like all different types of homemade pretzels, like pretzel bites and full pretzels. And they're the soft, good pretzels that they just made, right? With all the cheese sauces and dips and different types of things that. And then my favorite, they had an oyster bar station. That's my favorite. Oysters,
for you,
oysters and shrimp. So, and they had a full layout, a full spread of oysters. You just go up and pull your oysters off of it and then, you know, go and eat the oysters. And then they have, of course, dessert bars, but I'm telling you about the other bars too. Then you go upstairs. Oh, and then they have carving stations. They had 2 carving stations. So like prime rib carving and ham and turkey carving station. They had a full sushi station that had all the spread of all different types of sushi. You just walk up and get the sushi.
Oh, my God.
Right? Oh, and a fresh-made pasta station where they made fresh pasta for you.
Oh, and, the inner Italian in me right now.
Yes. And they had bread and, you know, pasta. And I know I'm forgetting some of the stations. Top shelf bars, carving station, and like all the sides and trimmings and everything else too, they were all, they had a wing bar. So they had all different types of wings, all different types of sauces. And you just walk up like with your plate and you go get a new, you know, whatever you're going to eat. And then you go to the next station and then you get whatever you want to eat and then go to the next station. And it happened all night long. I believe they opened up at like 4:30 when the races started. And then it went after until about 10 o'clock at night, maybe a little bit later. I left though. And you would just go and get your food, get your drinks and watch the races live from the rooftop or from the slide. And we showed that on the video and I filmed it from the video over there too. And I know I forgot some. Oh, and they had full dessert stations, right? Little tiny, petite little, you know, bite-sized desserts and ice cream and all kinds of stuff. So it wasn't like a buffet. They were like full gourmet stations. Like each station you went up to was gourmet food that they were preparing, like chefs were preparing and making it right there in front of you at each station. So it was like the chef that was preparing the pasta, like he was dedicated to just making the pasta for people. On every single time that somebody went up to get pasta, he would make the pasta fresh right there for that person. And then they had like games and
simulators, right?
Yeah. So they had a lot of, they had the simulators where you could drive the race cars. There's other places where you could like, they would time you and you could put tires on a mock car.
Cool.
Yeah. And then there was like tabletops and places to sit and walk around and see everything too. So it was a lot of fun. And like, if you buy those tickets normally and you buy them like through F1, I think they're 10 grand for the 3 nights. And so I got mine comped, but I did find like a smoking deal where they were doing high price on the resales. The resales were going for like $6,000 a night.
Oh my God.
But I got them comped, so I didn't pay that much. But so like my whole entire 5 nights was basically I got my food and my drinks and my suite, and everything was comps like for the whole entire week, and got to experience F1 again. So this is my second time, which was great. They do road closures. So the road closures start at 1 p.m. during the day. So like when I got in, I just kept my car there the whole entire week. I didn't even like leave to go in or out because the road closures, because everything is F1 around there. I was like right in the heart of F1, where I was staying. It was right in the center. So I couldn't like leave basically.
You're like locked in there.
You right. And then they closed down the strip. So on the strip is all closed down because the cars race down the strip, and then they race behind the strip and over near the sphere and then around the different properties and then come back. But there were so many people, and everybody was wearing their F1 type of jackets, like who their favorite race car team was or their favorite type of car, and their sweatshirts and their hats. So like everybody was F1 out there, which it was a lot of fun. But the best part of it, I like going out and like watching the cars, but listening to the sound of the cars roaring down like is the best thing for me. Like I'm a big nerd like that. So the thing is like when you're watching it and you're live, you don't know who's like the cars go by so fast within milliseconds. They have big screen TVs everywhere, but you're busy watching this, the cars just like zoom down the raceway, right? Like either take the turn or goes on the straightaway, and you can't see what car is racing in front of you. It just goes by so fast. And they had rain too. So on I went on Thursday and Friday night. And so on Friday night, it was just like pouring, and the roads were flooded. And you could see as they came down the strip, the tires were like splashing up everywhere. And then you could see the brake lights reflecting off of the tires. But it's beautiful. And you could just hear them coming down and racing by. But like I had no clue whatsoever who was placing, who was in first, who was in last, or anything, because you can't see the cars are going by so fast that you can't like track them unless you watch the TV. But if you watch the TV, then why are you there for the experience, right? Like you get to watch, you get to watch the live cars from the balcony and oversee the strip and see them running by. So, like I had no clue at all. Just placing or what cars are winning or anything. I'm just like, you know, this is the greatest experience ever whatsoever, but I don't get to see, like, I had no clue who had won. And then, but you have some interesting information, like what ended up happening, and the car that took it was like, took me by surprise, but
here,
tell me what happened.
Oh, I can pull up the standings too. So I'm going to pull up the standings, and they should be popping up to the stream in just a second. There you go. So during the event, no one was expecting really a lot of rain because it's Vegas. No one expects rain in Vegas. It's such a rare occurrence.
Yeah, it does rain every now and then, but it poured. It poured hard. Yeah,
exactly. So none of the drivers of the teams were expecting the races to be as wet as they were and the roads to be as wet as they were. But Max Verstappen and Red Bull, they kind of took a chance, right? They took that gamble and they came in with a car that was more well suited. So they explored the strength of their car, which is at the end of the day, Red Bull makes amazing cars. So they had a really big gap in terms of the competition, in terms of the car, and it shows in the standings. And it's his 125th like podium placement, and he beat everyone by 20.741 seconds, which is
That he was going to be 125th.
No, that's his 125th podium finish.
Okay, got it. I'm like, that would have been a great second place in Vegas.
That would have been a great that long one. Time. Oh my God, you would have made a lot of money.
I'm just thinking of numbers.
That.
I'm like, oh, numbers.
But he beat them by 20.741 seconds to second place, which was the largest gap in Las Vegas GP history. So he set a record in this year's F1 Las Vegas by beating the competition by that large of a gap. It's amazing to see that big of a gap, and like it hardly ever happens. You'll see gaps like maybe 7 seconds to 10 seconds, but 20 plus seconds in like the current standing of F1 is remarkable to see. That Max Verstappen and his team, congratulations to you guys. That's a big accomplishment.
That's awesome. I know. I was in shock. And then say what type of a car. He had a Honda.
Yeah, a Honda.
A Honda. So I'm in shock. Like I adore Red Bull. They're amazing. They have the greatest extreme sports, the greatest people, on the teams and stuff, but they raced a Honda. A
Right?
Honda.
No one would have guessed compared to the competition. You see Mercedes, Ferrari,
Oh, I
Haas,
know.
Aston Martin, McLaren, who DNF'd because they tried to adjust their car last minute. We had there was there's so many amazing cars in the competition, but Honda.
And Honda took it. So I wonder what kind of sales Honda's gonna have now. That's
I
crazy.
wonder.
I wanna see how many people are wearing Honda jackets next year at F1.
It's
That
going to
would
be
be
the Red Bull
interesting.
Honda jackets, and we're going to see a lot of them.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. That'd be interesting. But name a couple of other cars that were racing. Like who came in second, third, and fourth, and what the cars were.
So we had second and third. Mercedes took both second and third, George Russell and Kimi Antonelli. And then we had Ferrari in fourth and Williams in fifth, with Red Bull following
Fourth.
close in
What type
sixth.
of car did Williams have?
William, no, Williams is the car.
Oh, sorry. Ferrari was in fourth. Williams was in fifth. Who
Yes,
was the
yes.
racers though? Who was
Ferrari was Charles Leclerc, and
okay.
fifth was Carlos Sainz.
Oh
Sainz, yeah.
yeah. I that's so funny. Like there's big screen TVs everywhere and they had concerts. They had live concerts going on. They had like all this food, and it was just like being at a club watching race cars race by, which is great, and like all this amazing food. So you don't even have time to watch the big screen at all and know who's placing it. All
It's
you see
fun
is the
to
car
track the
zoom
results
by.
after.
Like we showed the video, you just see the car zoom by and you just like go, there goes, and there goes. And you don't even know who it was, and you're like, there goes another one.
The best part though with F1. You don't
I
have to pay
know.
attention to the results while it's going on. You just enjoy
Right.
being there in the cars and the sounds. And like you said, this year F1 Las Vegas, with the splashing of the tires, like it
Oh,
was in the
yeah.
video that we showed at the start,
It was
it looked
amazing.
amazing. And you
And the
don't see
lights
that.
flashing because they're putting on their brakes because they have to slow down for their turn, right? And so, like,
Right.
they're tapping their brakes, and the brakes are like flashing as the water's splashing up, and you could see it looks like a light show with a water show. And I was right across from the Bellagio, and then you could see the Bellagio water show going off, and then the car zooming by. Like, it was amazing. It was a lot of fun.
It looked like a
Yeah.
dream.
Yeah, it
Oh
was a
my God.
blast. So, Dragon will be sponsoring. Hopefully next year. That's the goal.
Hopefully,
F1, right?
that is
Is it we still want to go next year? We want to go to Miami, Japan, Monaco, Singapore. Like, that's the goal. We want to sponsor
Obviously, Las
F1.
Vegas as
So
well.
you see, like, we'll, the goal is to have everybody wearing F1 jackets with dragons on them,
Yes.
sponsoring Honda. No, I'm just kidding. Sponsoring whoever's gonna no. And I probably still wouldn't pay attention except for the car. And then you can get to just go to the pit. And so, like, the people that are here's the thing, y'all. Like, the goal is next year we'll be going to F1s and then we'll be in a perfect world sponsoring F1. But that means people that are signing up for dragonpro.app right now have the potential to join us in F1 next year.
Oh,
Do your
make sure you
research,
sign
not
up.
financial advice. But so if you're signing up now, that gives you a better chance of next year of attending an F1 with Dragon.
And you don't want to miss that experience. As you
No, you
saw from those
don't.
video clips, it is something to dream of. The experience you get, you can go to all the different levels. If we're going to Vegas and you come with us to Vegas, you can go to all the different bars, all the different stations, play the racing sims, watch the races live, and get the full experience, and drive down the track and get stuck in traffic. That's part of the experience too.
Right, I drove the truck. I drove the truck on the way in to Vegas, and I drove the truck on the way out of Vegas on yesterday. Oh my gosh, it was just yesterday. It seems like it was so long ago, but it was just I drove out yesterday. But we have video of that too, but we'll post it on our X so you can see
Yes.
it. But I drove the truck, so that was like amazing. I didn't drive as fast as they did, and it was sunny, so I didn't have water splashing off. But on the way into Vegas, there were flash floods, so I got to experience the water splashing everywhere on my car. When I came in on last Wednesday, so I came into Vegas last Wednesday, and there was just like torrential downpours and flash floods, and all the roads were covered in like 2 to 4 feet of water. Like the drainage was terrible coming into Vegas on the side streets. And so like people were just like zooming on the side of it, like in 2 to 4 feet of water. And my car was too low to the ground. And so I did not do that, but I did splash a lot going in. So I knew what the race car drivers were doing when they were splashing everywhere, because I experienced that, not at 1,000 miles an hour, but you know, it was fun. So I drove in on the racetrack and then drove out of the racetrack in the sun, at least. So that was a blast.
But you have the dry roads.
Yeah. So we had fun. Everybody who was in Vegas at F1, it was a blast. And then I shared videos as I was there too. And you can tell I lost my voice. So I met a lot of fun people too. And trying to talk over the race cars, like you can see here right now, I have no voice whatsoever. And this is 4 days later.
It takes a lot. The race cars are loud. They're louder than
you expect. Very loud. Very loud. I mean, they're amazing though. Like you know, like they're just zooming down. Like especially, I was ground level on the strip on the first night. So I was staying. I went to the Caesars Experience. It's called like the Caesars Experience, which the layout is beautiful. Like they have like open area for seating, a giant screen TV that was probably, I don't know, 25 feet by 25 feet. They had two of those, and then it was on the strip level. So like you had to kind of like peek over to see the cars, but you were ground level with the cars and you could hear them running by when the races were going. So they were very, very loud. And then they had different food areas and Gatorade and bars and like open. But the funny thing is like all of these locations are inside the casinos. Like they're part of the casino, either on the extension of the casino or inside the casino, on top of the casino, or like one of their restaurants or their clubs. So they make you go search for it and they won't give you directions how to get there. So,
I know this story.
But I can understand, like, the staff will not tell you how to get to the location at all. Like, if you ask people, they're like, oh, I don't know. Like, you're here in Vegas. You know where F1 is. You know where it is. But I think they were told not to tell anybody how to get to the locations. So the first time, because I went to the Caesars property, and the only way to get there is, like, you either have to take an Uber around the city to get back into it on the outside of the track. Or you have to walk. So like I walked down the strip and then walked across the bridge over to the Caesars property. And it took me, I kid you not, like 2 hours trying to find out where it was, because nobody would help me to find out where it was. So I was in the casino, and I think that's what they want you to do. They want you to get lost in the casino. So you just gamble in the casino and you never make it to F1. So all of them, you have to go through the casinos and out before you find the location. And it was strip side, so it was like right on the outdoors, and it was sprinkling that night too, outdoors. And to get to it, you had to actually walk the front of the property where the valet was, go where the park, like where the cars were coming in, and walk along that path to access it. And here I am, like wandering through the casino trying to find it, almost ready to give up, but I ended up making it to it. So. That one wasn't my favorite. Like that's one that was good experience, but the resale on those tickets were $1,000, and it was ground level and it was open and it didn't include food or drinks, but it was just like open. It had giant screen TVs and big screen TVs everywhere. And so like it was great to hear it from the ground level, but I think the best experiences were the skybox and then the clubs and the ones that are the hospitality suites, they call them, because they're like full gourmet food and open bars and top shelf and wait service, and you get like the best views. So that was amazing. That was fun.
And that's where you guys saw the videos from, in the Cherise.
Yeah. So Bon Cherise was a club in Paris. It's like the top floor club. And half of it was open and the other half is covered by the Eiffel Tower because it was in Paris, P-A-R-I-S. So the Eiffel Tower is like above, like some of the videos you could probably see was like the top of the Eiffel Tower.
Yep.
And then it was underneath that, but half of it was open because it was like an open club with the covering of the Paris Tower. And then I went to the down level and it was enclosed on half of it. And the other half, which was like the patio open area for the beer garden, was all open also. So there was like rain everywhere because it was pouring that night, but it was a great experience. Like, and I found like a little nook where I could be covered and still be like front line and watch the races. And that's where I filmed it from. Like I was in the corner, but, and then the pictures you're seeing, it's like a giant statue in front of Paris. It's not a person in front of me. That was a giant statue. And on across on the other side was the Bellagio and the water show going off. So, and the Bellagio is supposed to have a good show. Next year, I want to go to Sports Illustrated. So that was a popular one. That's one of the ends on the turn. So I'm going to do the Sports Illustrated one. Yeah, that was another one. And then I found out, this is for all of you who couldn't get tickets, there's a secret too. So there's different restaurants that overlook the strip. So if you want to get like a strip view, but you can't get tickets or you can't get into the events because they're sold out or they're too expensive, you can book a restaurant on Open Table that's along the strip that has strip views, and you can book it and like book a slot and you could watch the races from your table. So what they do is they have a, yeah. So they have a minimum, most of the tickets run between like before the resale, they run between like $100 to $4,000 is the ticket price for one night. But if you book an open table, like you book it online and you book, it's called Open Table, you can book some of the restaurants and you can get the strip view. And you, as long as you meet like a minimum amount of food purchase, so you get your food and drinks or whatever that's included in your booking, you don't have to pay for a ticket. You just pay for your food. And so some of them had like a minimum $125 food bill, like per person, which is cheaper than buying a ticket for F1.
Right.
And you get a view of the strip and a view of the race cars. You're enclosed, so you're not sitting out in the rain and whatever. And you get to order whatever food you want as long as you meet the minimum of the 125. So they had an Italian restaurant that did it. They had a sushi bar. They have a place called Bottle Blonde that's doing tickets for next year. And it's three nights for $750, includes all the food and drink. Also, it's bottle service. So they have that for next year. So you could have like these little places that are overlooking the strip. They're, you know, like gourmet restaurants or, you know, beautiful locations that overlook the strip. You can watch the races as long as you meet the minimum on the food requirement, which is cheaper than some of the F1 tickets. So that's hint, hint. That's like another way to get in to watch the races if you don't have a ticket. And then you get to pick what kind of food you want to eat and what you want to drink because you just have to meet the minimum requirement that they do and you book it through Open Table.
Right.
And those tickets were still available on like Thursday and Friday. So you could have booked it for the whole entire weekend on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. And then they were completely sold out and you couldn't get a spot anymore at all because then everyone discovered it. But that's one of the ways. And then the other way is to go on to like Ticketmaster, StubHub, and a couple other ones. And what people will do is a lot of people can't come into town or they have a three night and then they decide they only want to go to two of the nights. They can split off their tickets and they'll sell off their tickets on StubHub, Ticketmaster, and their digital tickets. So I found one of the ones that were going for like $1,000. Somebody put it up for $40 because they couldn't do it and it got scooped up right away. And another one was a gourmet, the full Paris club. And it was going, they were going for $3,000 to $5,000 one for one night per person. And people would just like randomly put them up for $200 and they would get swooped away. And that was cheaper than buying it before the races started, like through F1. It was cheaper than the resale too, because people would just randomly put their ticket up just to like get rid of it. Cause as soon as it got close to the races, they wouldn't want to get, you know, their ticket out. Cause if they just let the night go, they would lose the value of their ticket completely.
Right.
So that was another way to get into F1 if you wanted to do that. And then if you're part of like the Caesars properties, if you're in Vegas and you, you know, go to those casinos, they have comps or you can stay in the property and like watch from the street. You can't necessarily see the full street, but you can like hear the cars and you can like peek over walking down the strip. So that's another way to experience it without having to have a ticket or be watching it officially. So those are the secrets. And now next year it's going to be completely, millions of people are going to come now and I won't be able to get a ticket anymore.
Exactly. Or if you're going to one of the next ones where there's two left this for this season, this year, there's one in Qatar, which is the end of this month up till the 30th. And then Abu Dhabi from December 5th to the 7th. And then that's the end of the season. And we go straight into the 2026 season of F1. So if you're looking for the end of this season, the last two races, or you're starting to plan for next year, now you have the tips and tricks.
Yes. So just make sure if y'all swoop up the cheap tickets, make sure you get me one. We're sponsoring it. So you might be joining us there instead, right?
Yep.
The goal is that we're going to be sponsoring it. So we're going to talk a little now that I have no voice at all whatsoever. It was a blast. So it was fun. And the thing is, too, is like I'm still working like I normally work. So I'm waking up at like 4 o'clock in the morning and going to sleep at 2 or 3 because I'm still doing what I normally do. But like you get to enjoy an event, go to Vegas and work remotely if you have that kind of lifestyle. And that's what I do. So that's another reason why I have no voice and no sleep. But I was working every single day because we were working on our APIs and our timing and our latency and the auto traders, because we have an auto trader on Telegram now that's a sniper bot that automatically buys BSC, and we're getting crazy returns on that. So it automatically buys and it sells on the exit outs. And then we have Dragon Pro that's launching. That's like the full web, easy to use interface that automatically buys and sells and finds the low entry tokens, you know, top 100 or 200 out of 50,000, 4 years of data, 500. Now we're at like 600 million data points because we've added BSC now. So like our APIs are on the overload. So we've been working on the latency because they've been overloaded. So they've been going down a couple times. So we've had to increase our servers and our usage and our API requests because we have so much going on right now. But I was doing all of that and going to F1, which was great, and the gym. So yeah. I do have no voice, and I swear I put like 10,000 to 20,000 steps a day walking all over, which is great too.
It looked like a lot of walking back and forth and finding your way to the destination, especially
right. The first night was just crazy. And then I was carrying a rain jacket around because I'm like, oh, I'm going to get rained on. I didn't even use the rain jacket. It was like a windbreaker rain jacket, but it makes you hot. And you go into the casinos and they have like all the heaters on and you're outside in the rain. And you're like, oh my goodness. But it was fun. It was a blast. So, but the markets, right? So we're talking a little bit about the markets. We're going to do a few minutes of live trading because we've consumed it with me talking about F1 because it was exciting. It was fun. But remember, all these key dates have been hitting, y'all. So we said 2 weeks before the Fed meets, which was November 21st, we've been saying on a couple of our spaces, on our X, on our Telegram, that that's a key date. If we have an uptick in the market, then they anticipate that the Fed will probably cut rates, and they build it into the pricing 2 weeks before. So on November 21st was our uptick in the market, right?
Yep, November 21st, and I'm
November 21st.
I'm live streaming the chart right now. If anybody wants to take a look and watch with us, we have the chart.
So that's the price. So show the 21st.
The 21st, right here. Oh, the 21st, right here was the uptick in the market. It hit its absolute bottom and it upticked, and then from there on.
Yeah, but look at say what the price was on the 21st.
On the 21st, at the very bottom, 2624, 2624.
So right now we're at 29.68 and we hit a 29.87.59. So 29.87. So we went up 360 points from the 21st.
Right. Look at that.
So if you all listened, look at what happened right before the uptick though, right? Go to the 20th. What are you doing?
This is computer, and it's very finicky.
It's doing its own thing.
It always does.
Go back to the 21st.
I'm here the 21st.
Okay, so everybody is probably going short right there because you can see the market going down, right?
Right.
So I told you all the 21st is our key date for our uptick, 2 weeks before the Fed meets. And so everybody was probably shorting the market because that's what it was doing. It was going down right before. But then on the 21st was the uptick, and we went up 360 points since then. So if you went long on the 21st, when I told you all that that's 2 weeks before, do your own research, not financial advice, but if there's positive news, the stock market rallied, the financial markets rallied, crypto rallied. We went up 360 points. We went up almost, what, like over
what is
10-15% since then?
I think so, yeah. If we can, actually calculate it here too.
Yeah.
13.91%.
Right. And that's only in a few days because today's only the 25th. Yep. It's only been 4 days.
In 4 days and 16 hours.
In 4 days, right? So again, that was one key date. The Fed meets February 5th. February 1st, we have volume in the market. Okay, so let's go back, scroll back. So November 21st, that was the first key date, 2 weeks before the Fed meets. The night before the holiday, Thanksgiving, is heavy volume in the crypto market because people start to trade and invest because they have nothing to do. Right. They have no work the next day. They're meeting with their friends, doing Friendsgiving. They're going back to their hometowns. They're on their phones. They're trading. So we anticipate having volume tomorrow night, which we're probably going to do live trading tomorrow night. We'll have volume in the meme coin market for sure. Then the market goes a little soft on Thursday and Friday because people are on holiday. It's Thanksgiving. Everybody's with their family. Nobody's trading. They're drinking beer and watching football and like spending time with their family and eating turkey and taking naps. So Thursday, it doesn't mean that the market's going to go bad. It means that there's no volume. When there's no volume, you don't have activity, so the market goes flat. So it doesn't mean that we're having a downturn, y'all. When there's a holiday and there's no volume, it goes flat. And then Friday is Black Friday, so everybody's shopping. It's the day after Thanksgiving, so we're kind of flat on that, and some people are off on that day too. The weekend will be a little bit soft, but some volume will come back. But Monday and Tuesday, we should have volume again because everyone's back from the holiday. It's the beginning of the month, which everyone gets paid, so volume comes into the market. It's been after a holiday, and it's right before the Fed meets again. The Fed is going to announce on Wednesday, and there's a higher probability that they're going to do a quarter interest rate cut is what they anticipate. If they do more than that, then we'll have a big rally in the market. If they don't do a cut or they do a quarter, we should either be flat or have some volume. They've priced it into the market. So on Wednesday is when the Fed meets. But the volume comes back on Monday and Tuesday of next week after the holiday. It's tonight and tomorrow night. Then it goes flat for the holiday, a little bit soft on the weekend. Volume comes back next Monday and Tuesday. The Fed announces on Wednesday. It's the beginning of the month for volume. And then so that's just this week alone. So we're going to have like a range trading this week because of the holidays and then volume and then holidays and then volume and then weekend and then volume and then the Fed meets, right? So that's what's going to happen in the next 7 days. And then that's the Fed meets. And then our next volume is the 14th. We have high volume in crypto on the 14th before the holidays because people start trading to invest to make money for the holidays and for Christmas and the Christmas break. And then we'll have volume on the 14th. It's also the middle of the month, which everyone gets paid on the 15th. So the 14th volume will come back. A lot of people will be trading and investing. We should have range trading in the market, volume in the market, high runners on meme coins on the 14th tomorrow night. And then we'll go soft again, like near the 19th until about the 2nd of January, because then it goes a little bit quiet. And then people structure their portfolio. But we have this time period where it's good to be in the market if you're flipping, range trading, day trading, buying for long term because you're buying at low prices right now. Remember, we're also holding long term for ETH and BTC because of crypto. We're still early. We're all still early. If you hold long term, just like a stock market, you hold long term on the stock market, you're supposed to average 8 to 12%. If you hold long term in crypto, right now we're at, you know, 2900. Our low was at 1400. You're still up 2x if you bought in on April 8th. If you hold long term and Ethereum goes to the price of BTC, BTC's all-time high was about 127. We still have about a 30x to catch up to them. So that's optimism, optimism, optimism. Do your own research, not financial advice. So it'll pay for you, it'll pay for your F1 tickets next year, no problem, if you're, you know, optimistic and you trade smart. But we have the holiday. So Thursday, remember, the markets go quiet. Friday's Black Friday, the market go quiet. Volume tonight, tomorrow night, which means uptick and range trading. Volume next Monday and Tuesday, uptick, volume, range trading. Fed meets Wednesday, announces what they're going to do with the rate cuts and then what they anticipate for next year and what the outlook is for the economics for the next year. The 14th and the 15th, volumes in the market. So we have potential for the next, you know, 35 days, you know, right, still potential. Yeah. You hold long term, you know, ETH has the potential to go up to 30x. Do your research, not financial advice. But that was a big segment about F1. We didn't even get to live trade.
I know.
We were going to live trade tonight, but we'll live trade tomorrow on our spaces and on our X. But we wanted to live trade, at least show what the analytics look like, and then we'll wrap it up and wish y'all.
Right. Here we go.
So our analytics, if you can blow up a little bit. So we trade a lot on meme coins, and meme coins, it gives us the market price, okay, what the value is. It gives us the LP. The LP is how much liquid is in the token, which is like the gold to the dollar standard for a token. It tells you what your taxes are. So if your taxes are like royalties, if you buy and sell a token, you pay a royalty for it. Some are zero, some are 5%. So you pay a royalty, which goes back to the original token dev. It tells you what types of holders are on it, if it's a risk token or not. If it's locked, it means that they can't pull the LP. If it's unlocked, they have a potential to pull out the liquid out of it. If it's renounced, it means that they can't change the contract so that nothing malicious can happen. So it's a lot safer. But we catch all these tokens like at a 3 to 5K market cap, and they go up to 240,000, or they go up to like 40 million. So
like this one right here.
The range. Yeah. So the range is, we catch revivals before they come back to life. We catch meme coins on new launches, which are like IPOs in the stock market. We catch RWA assets. We catch AI, utilities, all different types of tokens. But we pick the top 100 to 200 and it streams live, and our auto trader will buy and sell them for you with profit taking out. But we'll live trade again. Next Wednesday will be a good, next Tuesday will probably be a good day to range trade because it'll be at the beginning of the month, lots of volume. So we'll do some live trading next week also. But in the interim, make sure that you guys have an amazing Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Be grateful to all the people in your life. I'm grateful to all my people in my life. I appreciate you all. Spend time with your family and friends. And then, you know, look for those Jeeps. Look for that color blue. Think about your life and be grateful to everybody that you have, and have an amazing week. And we will talk to you again next week.
Next week. Yes. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Have
happy
a great
Thanksgiving.
Week.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.